Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name is John Harrison. There is an assumption that once a country becomes a liberal democracy, it stays that way. Recent research, however, indicates that liberal democracies around the world are actually declining. Join this programme to discuss this issue is Michael Walzer, who is an American political theorist and professor emeritus at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome to the programme, Michael.
Thank you.
Now, Michael, political scientists have a theory called democratic consolidation, which holds that once countries develop democratic institutions, a robust civil society, and a certain level of wealth, their democracy is secure. In your opinion, how solid is this theory?
It's obviously not very solid. It reflects a certain kind of complacency among Western political, perhaps especially American political scientists. I think many political theorists, by contrast, would not have the same degree of confidence in institutional stability. We were taught long ago by Jean-Jacques Rousseau that what he called a republican government, which is very close to our democracy, could not survive if the citizens were too unequal. If inequality rose in the society, the likelihood of republican survival declined. And I think that is a good part of the story that we've been watching these last years.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting you say that. I mean, you're actually already in the beginning of the program indicating why this has happened, not only that it is happening, it's why it is happening. But just let me provide some more evidence sort of in this context. According to an institution called Freedom House, the number of countries classified as free, in inverted commas, rose steadily from the mid-1970s to early 2000s. Many Latin American countries made the transition from military rule to democracy, and many Eastern European countries were assimilated into the EU, an organization that had quite strict entry standards. And of course, bedrock democratic countries such as North America, Western Europe, and Australia seemed more secure than ever. But since 2005, Freedom House has shown a reverse in its figures. Now, is this a statistical anomaly, or does it mean that there is a new trend forming?
Those figures reflect, first of all, the breakup of the Soviet Union and the sudden appearance of a large number of new, but very new, democracies, which probably did not have a very strong institutional base or a very strong independent civil society. And the same thing happened in South America in those years. So I think the decline in number is simply a reflection of the sudden increase in number the previous decade. But I would still insist that one of the major reasons is the rise of inequality throughout, well, globally, but also very importantly in the Western countries. And we saw it very clearly in Eastern Europe, where the communist regimes were radically unequal in the sense that if you were a member of the party, you had all sorts of privileges. But if you were not a member of the party, you were generally at the same level as everyone else. And that changed quite radically with privatization and the very sudden arrival of neoliberal economics.
It's interesting what you're saying. It's almost if I get you right, you're saying that this thing about equality is a fundamental, almost human quality. But then if one looks back through history, I mean, you go back right back to the Greeks, where, you know, so-called democracy was freedom for everybody apart from women and slaves. You know, and I'm wondering where this idea of equality comes from. Is it something to do with the French Revolution and Rousseau and that era?
Yes. The 18th century, the French Revolution, the American Revolution also, saw the birth of a leftist politics advocating and defending both democracy, universal suffrage, and equality. That's the beginning of the modern story.
No, it's fascinating because in a way you're associating democracy with you know, with a more sort of egalitarian political front, which is quite honestly the first time I actually heard that, perhaps very simple and very profound analogy being made. It's interesting what you're saying.
Well, it's not novel. I think quite a few people have been arguing this recently, looking at countries like Greece, where the austerity imposed by the EU bankers actually produced a radical rise in inequality, in economic hardship, and a populist politics, both of the left and the right. The left populism in Europe is still, I think, consistent with democratic politics, right-wing populism much less so. And that's true in the United States also. I think Bernie Sanders was not a threat to American democracy, and Donald Trump is.
Okay, let's take a short break here.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World programme. Today I'm discussing with American political theorist Michael Walzer, Professor Emeritus at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, the question of how stable democracies really are. Now, we've had a sort of discussion on very broad terms in the first half of the programme about the situation we're in with democracies, stability of democracies. And can we please, in the second half, move on to the signs that you see or don't see in democracies at the present time, and what can be done, if anything, to reverse the trends that are taking place now? Now, first of all, the signs. Can you give me any indications? You know, let's take a country like America, you know. What are the signs that you see happening now in America that might indicate that democracy is under threat?
Well, the crucial sign is the rise of a demagogue and the effort, so far contested, and the contestation is very important, but the efforts to challenge and repress the independent media and the arrival on the scene of what we now call fake news or alternative facts, of the growing power, which is not just the product of Donald Trump, the growing power of the executive vis-a-vis an increasingly incompetent Congress. So those are some of the signs. And the appearance of what we're calling now resistance is a sign of democratic energy and democratic hope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I gather that the percentage of Americans who said that army rule would be good or very good has risen to 1 in 6 in 2014 compared to 1 in 16 in 1995. And I'm taking these statistics from a book called Stranger in My Own Country by Yasha Munk and Roberta Foer.
Well, there are a growing number of Americans who seem responsive to both demagoguery and authoritarian rule. Exactly how many they are and who they are is less clear. We've had some statistical studies of the Trump voters, but not yet highly sophisticated studies. So we think that there are, in addition to the economic factors that I began by talking about, there are also cultural factors. There, as in Europe, I think, there is a response by white Americans, and perhaps particularly white male Americans, to immigrants, non-white immigrants from Asia and Latin America, and also perhaps to the growing visibility, presence of gender equality. I do think Hillary Clinton's defeat had more than we like to admit, had more to do with the simple fact that she is a woman.
Fair enough. Michael, do you see the similar sort of trends happening in Europe, or is this a peculiarly American affair?
Well, the fear of immigration, in your case, of Islamic immigration, I mean, the Latin Americans and the Asians coming into the U.S. are generally not Muslims, but you are faced with the rise of a religious minority some of whose members, a small minority of whose members, are quite militant and responsible for terrorist acts. So you have it is a somewhat different situation, although, as you can see from the President Trump's executive order on immigration, he is playing on the same Islamophobia as is motivating some European populists.
And I mean, it's quite frightening. I've got a little diagram in front of me now, a percentage of people who say it is essential to live in a democracy. And there's all these countries, Sweden, Australia, Netherlands, United States, New Zealand, Britain, and they're all showing a major decline. You know, in Britain's case, from the 1930s, where you had 70% of people saying it's essential to live in democracy, and now that's down to about 27%. And those figures are echoed almost the same in New Zealand, the same in the United States, Australia showing an even larger decline, which surprises me greatly. Sweden seems to be the safest country as far as people saying it's essential to live in a democratic system. Is there something special about Sweden?
Do you have any idea of what they think the essential alternative is to democracy? Because many Americans might respond to that question thinking that small R Republican government is different from democracy, and that they are in favor of Republican government rather than democracy. That's an old, old American argument.
Right. Why, out of all the European states, Sweden seem to have the strongest democratic institutions? Is it because they're not looking forward? They're not looking to the past, are they, for the future? You know, they're also not looking forward to a mythological future, which was perhaps based on the past. They're looking at the present. Would that be a crazy assumption to make?
No, that sounds right. They are also the immigrants that they are receiving. Well, a lot of them are Finns who are radically other. So maybe the situation is also objectively different there.
Okay, we need to finish this program, so we're way over time already. But one sort of final wrap-up question, please, Michael Walzer. In your opinion, are we going to see the end of the so-called liberal democratic system, let's say the next 10 years?
I think democracy will survive the next 10 years, but a lot depends on the activity of citizens who value democracy. And that's why I've been so encouraged by what we're calling, it may be a pretentious term, the resistance to the Trump administration here in the United States. There are, if you had marched in New York a couple of weeks ago, you would feel a certain buoyancy that bodes, I think, well for the next immediate years.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael Walzer, an American political theorist and professor emeritus at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. And thank you, listeners, for being with us today. It's a fascinating program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.